Other Side of Midnight presents Commendations.
I must first give a joint commendation to Benson Kipruto and Diana Kipyoke. These two first-time champions from Kenya surged to victory in the men's and women's races as the Boston Marathon returned for the first time since April of 2019. That's right. After a year and a half wait, the world's oldest and most storied annual marathon returned to the streets of Boston last week. Not in its usual spring slot, but in an unaccustomed season more associated with New York's race. And the winners this year going away were Benson Kipruto and Diana Kipyoke. Benson and Diana, congratulations. And if winning the marathon was not enough, it is my pleasure to present you with this official commendation. I must also commend Alana Campbell. She has received the Girl Scouts Medal of Honor. Yes, that's right. There still are Girl Scouts, even though the girls could join the Boy Scouts now. I commend anyone that wants to be still a Girl Scout. But the Girl Scouts of Southern Illinois announced that Alana Campbell was awarded the Girl Scout Medal of Honor, a life-saving award that she received for demonstrating heroism in saving another's life. She prevented a sunny day from turning tragic this summer when she took quick action to save her cousin, Piper Morris, from nearly drowning. The girls were swimming together one afternoon when Alana, who's 11, recognized that six-year-old Piper was having a seizure. As Piper was going underwater, Alana rushed over to keep her cousin afloat. She said, "I've seen these seizures happen a few other times. They're always scary, and I feel helpless when they're happening. At the time it happened, I really didn't have too much time to think about it. I just knew I had to do something." So she was so alert, and her response was invaluable. So she rescued Piper from going underwater, and she carried her younger cousin across the pool to the ladder where their grandmother helped her get her to the deck to recover. So I am thrilled that the Girl Scouts of the USA honored Alana with this Girl Scouts Medal of Honor. And it is my pleasure to give Alana Campbell a formal commendation. Alana Campbell, I do commend you. And it is my sad duty to give a posthumous commendation to a gentleman that's been a repeated guest on this show and someone that passed away this week at the age of 72. I am sad to tell you that former AC Report contributor Daryl McEwen, better known as Mr. AC Casino, a professional journalist and trade association executive, died on October 10th at his home in Wilmington, Delaware. This was a man that was very well respected, very well known in the Atlantic City area, but also nationwide for his ties to the casino industry. This is a fella, and I so enjoyed my conversations with him, and I so enjoyed reading his column in AC Weekly because I learned so much from him. And I posted one of our more recent interviews on Facebook. If you want to listen to it, go to facebook.com/MoranoFan. He described himself as a recreational gambler, and he was the publisher of something called the Seven Stars Insider, a website and a monthly newsletter which described events, promotions, casino activities, and he had a clever writing style, and he was just so honest about everything that was happening in Atlantic City. And he also wrote a biweekly column in Atlantic City Weekly, and he wrote a monthly feature on TravelZork.com. And I'm going to miss him. And I didn't know him well at all. And I'm going to miss his contributions to this show. It's sad whenever anybody dies, but especially someone that has been a guest on this show. We've lost a few people that have been guests on this show. Even though we've only been on more than a year, we've already lost a few folks. Timothy Green Beckley, now Daryl McEwen, one or two others. And my thoughts and prayers go out to his friends, his family. And I am grateful that we got to have him on the show, a few times. And I want to commend sarcasm. According to researchers, this is an older survey, but it's one that I felt was important to give a little credence to and reiterate for you, given my unique deadpan style. researchers are now saying that sarcasm is the highest form of intelligence. Now, it's the type of humor that leaves people wondering whether or not we're serious and tends to come with a good sting. Said by Oscar Wilde to be the highest form of intelligence, but the lowest form of wit. The word sarcasm comes from the Greek and Latin for to tear flesh. But research from Harvard has found that sarcasm's bite is mostly benign and potentially even beneficial. So researchers from the Harvard Business School are calling sarcasm in a published paper the highest form of intelligence. So they studied and they came to the conclusion that researchers conducted a series of tests, including imagining a cartoon with the caption, "I'm sorry I splashed you. I tried to miss the puddle." And they asked people whether this was sarcastic, sincere, or neutral. They were also asked to imagine conversations or recall real chats that had been sarcastic, sincere, or neutral. They were then asked to perform cognitive tasks. Despite stretching us mentally to avoid the potential for confusion and conflict, sarcasm is best reserved for people we love and trust, the researchers warned. Well, I'm sarcastic with everybody. But this survey found that when they were asked to imagine sarcastic conversations, people did better on these cognitive tests. So it's pretty interesting. I mean, I'm sure this can vary, but this Harvard study shows that sarcasm, both being sarcastic and being on the receiving end of sarcasm, can make you a little more smarter. So, big surprise, am I right? I want to commend Emmanuel Tulot. This kid, a young man, I should say, this young man is great. He's a real hero. He's a teenager in Liberia who has now become a national hero after finding $50,000 and returning it to its rightful owner. Now, he told the Associated Press he's been invited to go meet the president, and he's going to talk to him about his education. This is an 18-year-old young man, and he dropped out of school in the seventh grade to run a taxi service with his motorcycle to make money to help his family. And so he finds $50,000. What does he do? Does he keep it? Does he use it to pay bills, feed his family? No, he was driving his motorcycle taxi on a highway when he saw a bunch of money wrapped in a plastic bag that had dropped unnoticed. And then he went out of his way to find the rightful owners of this money and return it to them. Now, that is an impressive young man of strong moral character. And again, we like stories out of Liberia, because Liberia and the United States, if you know your history, our history is very much linked to the nation of Liberia. So the more great stories we can have out of Liberia, the better. And I don't know if you saw this story this weekend, but I really want to give a commendation to these dogs out there who are COVID-sniffing beagles. There are these special beagles. They're actually pretty cute, too, that have been trained to sniff whether or not human beings have COVID. And apparently these dogs do it with 98% accuracy. Now, that's better than the PCR test. So at Bark, which is the company behind BarkBox and other dog supplies, employees coming into work Thursday were greeted by some new coworkers, three COVID-sniffing beagles named Buddy, Noel, and Solo. And the roughly 40 workers in attendance, the company has six stories of office in Chinatown, but it's 250 or so New York-based employees, are returning on a case-by-case basis. They all had to report to the second floor. And there, these seasoned dogs gave a quick sniff to ensure everyone was COVID-free. So these dogs are part of BioScent, a Florida-based organization that trains medical detection dogs. And the company has 20 dogs that have been trained to sniff out COVID-19. I am perpetually amazed at dogs and what they can do. They can act as guard dogs. They can act as attack dogs. They can just be lovable companions that snuggle up next to you. They can fetch. They can sniff bombs. They can sniff drugs. They're great animals. They're great animals. And the fact that these dogs, at least 20 of them, are now trained to help sniff out COVID, I think that is great. Certainly going to be the best way that we can take a bite out of this pandemic. Am I right? I want to commend Donna and Todd Skinner. Todd and Donna Skinner have been avid growers of pumpkin and squash for almost 30 years. And they I believe, live in Ireland. And they have set a world record for growing the world's biggest pumpkin. That's right. The Skinners, Todd and Donna, have grown the world's biggest pumpkin. I think it was over 30 pounds. It might have been more. Let me see exactly what it was, because it was something worth mentioning. No, not 30 pounds. They've been doing it for 30 years. They shattered the world record by growing a squash. I'm not sure if it's a squash or a pumpkin. I think a pumpkin is a squash. But I think specifically we're considering this a pumpkin. Even though it's not orange, so maybe it's more of a squash. But it's a green squash. It's kind of cool looking. You want to know how much it weighs? 2,164 pounds. Can you imagine that? A 2,100-pound squash. It's huge. It took them years to grow this. And now that's a new world record. And if you are looking for a healthy snack, perhaps you would want to know who is the recipient of our penultimate commendation. The healthiest snack in the world, according to researchers, is nuts and seeds. Oh, yes. If you want healthy, this new study found that nuts and seed are linked to lower risk of death of all cases. All cases. You don't want to die? Instead of reaching for some ice cream, reach for some nuts and seeds. I love nuts and seeds. And they theorize that it's due to the polyunsaturated fat found in these items, the omega-3s that are found in these items, and all sorts of other things. But this study was a systematic review of 41 different articles evaluating the risk of mortality following the dietary intake of all sorts of food sources over the last 30 years. And they found, far and away, the healthiest snack food is nuts and seeds. I must commend the city of Rio de Janeiro. There was a survey from the website Bro Bible in which they looked at the 50 best party cities in the world. And they have a number of criteria: food, scenery, local history, art, culture. But what they counted above anything else in terms of the perfect vacation spot was partying. And they ranked the top 50 party cities in the world. And sure, Chicago made the list. Las Vegas made the list. You saw all sorts of countries on the list. Lima, some cities in Europe, Melbourne. But the number one party city in the world was Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. That's right. A little more unconventional than some of the other picks, but Rio de Janeiro, Brazil is evidently the greatest city to party in the entire world. And finally, I have to give a sincere commendation to Neil Schimler, who you may know better as Neil from Staten Island, a regular caller to this program, who was kind enough to send Rachel and I, I don't know if it's an anniversary gift or just a thanks for being so great on the radio gift. He sent us, and you know what a Seinfeld fan we both are, he sent us a license plate, old school New York license plate that says Ass Man. So this license plate will now proudly be on display in my office. And you know, for any Seinfeld fan, what a cool thing it is to have a novelty gift like that. So Neil Schimler, a.k.a. Neil of Staten Island, I do commend you and thank you for the license plate. If you want to comment on any of my commendations, you are welcome to give me a call, 1-800-848-9222. I suppose if you're making a comment on a commendation, that's a commentation.